No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today, unbelievably, we have one of the biggest icons in the history of hip-hop music, Master P, in the fucking studio. How you doing, P?
Oh, man, I'm good.
So,
I'm good.
For people who don't know, this is basically a party that we're doing with our boys over here at WCSP
yeah.
to celebrate the launch of your new album, Intelligent Hoodlum.
Yeah.
And so, what's your 14th, 15th album?
15th.
So, tell me a little bit about it.
Well, you know, being able to be around this long and have that staying power and have music that this generation could still feel and love is just a blessing. Mm-hmm. And to be able to do this and be here with my family, you know, my son Rome, my daughter Symphonique. I mean, this is some of the biggest talent in the world right here in this room. So
is it at this point, it's a lot about using like your name to help like bring the people under you around as well?
I mean, that is definitely about that, but it's also just about doing good music. I mean, me and Romeo came together on this project, and we made a bunch of great songs, a bunch of big records. And, I mean, to be able to do that with me and him, Crazy, my brother Silk on the project, Jeremiah. I mean, it's just, you know, Black and Mild on the beats. It's just big.
Right.
It's just big because It's that New Orleans combo that just, you know, we did our thing. And to be the first father and son of hip-hop to do this and to be able to be here with my daughters, like father, son, daughter, and hip-hop together, this is definitely history.
Yeah. So it's still, like, really important because you were sort of like a family record label from the very beginning, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that you actually got your start. I think it's so interesting you got your start from the record store business.
Yeah, learning the retail side.
Because that's, like, a very, like, it's a hard work business. It's got relatively small margins. It's not like the fantasy that a lot of rap kids have about what their life is going to be like. Like, you learn the actual hard work aspect of the music business.
And I think it kept me humble.
Mm-hmm.
It kept me really humble. Like, because, you know, most people get into this game, think they're going to make millions of dollars. I know what real hard work, you know, was.
And that's why this thing called the Intelligent Hoodlum.
Oh, yeah.
This man, he literally from the streets, but like, he's one of the most intellect individuals out there.
Right.
You know,
So you can't be afraid to grow up. I think people are afraid to grow up. And with me, even though I come from the streets, I'm not afraid to change my life and do what I need to do for my family and my kids. And that's why I'm free and that's why I'm still alive, because I decided to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is it easy to do the wrong thing.
Right.
The most hardest thing when you come from the ghetto is doing the right thing and bettering yourself. I tell people all the time, it's a mindset. So being able to be here and open the doors for my kids to where I feel like Symphonique is probably one of the biggest talents in the world that you're going to ever see in this game.
Right.
And to be from our family, because me and Rome did the hip-hop side, the rap side, but Symphonique doing the vocals with the R&B side, I mean, it's just incredible. You know, it's a lot of talent. I mean, you know. Rome the boss, you know, be able to do this music and have my son be the president of the company, man, is incredible.
People kept asking me if he was coming, and I was like, I don't think so. And then
this
the TV
project.
People told me, they're like, he's coming. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I had to support
you. Wait, I got to get you on that mic. Go.
We in this thing? Mic
yeah.
Check 1, 2, 1, 2.
We could get
now,
on the chair,
but I had
too.
To be here to support this project, man. You know, this project, Intelligent Hoodlum.
Mm-hmm.
It means a lot because just seeing my dad and all the hard work he put in, you know, this is more than music than us. You know, like, this is family. This is a family business. And
right.
See, my dad, they say lightning strike twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my pops, he back there. He working out. He in shape. Look, pops talking about coaching a damn team. I think he could play for a team right now.
Yeah.
This man did the 90-day challenge. You know,
crazy
he's
on
been
Instagram.
Motivated.
The
yeah.
cardio is nonstop.
Yeah. And the best thing, people don't know, your health as well.
Uh-huh.
And that shows in this project. Like, I felt like my dad got his win back to where he's showing people why he is Master P, why he did what he did at first. And I'm proud of this project. That's why I snuck on about four of them things. I was in the studio. I was like, look, I need to hop on that.
But
thing
is that ever a hard discussion to have? Because, you know, in the rap game, it's like dudes get left off of songs all the time. They do a verse. The song comes out. They're removed. It must be different with the father-son dynamic.
You know,
we got to get him a chair, right?
Yeah, you always. Look, it's all good. You know, we good.
Chris, get a chair.
You know, I mean.
Get him a chair.
I feel like right here you see superheroes. Batman, Robin, Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
We ready. We ready to take
be
over
Iron
the world.
Man or something, Pop.
Okay.
Let me
no,
be Iron
no,
Man.
But we got to be on the same team. So that was a that was
we the
same.
Avengers, though. We could be, you know.
Okay, I would be the Avengers.
The
but
Avengers.
I just
good with Catwoman.
I bet you was, Nick.
Catwoman's fire. All right, what about Wonder Woman, though? She's a big
exactly.
one, too.
We got Wonder Woman. We got Batman.
And can you get up in the mic a little bit more? Sorry. Yeah, but I mean, Romeo, you come from like a different struggle, though, because don't you feel like people expected you to not perform in a commercial sense, in an artistic sense, because they just kind of assumed that your dad was giving you a shot, and then you kind of blew those expectations out of the water, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Thing with life, everybody got expectations, right? And people always going to say, well, you didn't have to go through this, you had to go through that. But I wasn't dealt the same cards my pops was dealt. So mm-hmm. we went through different struggles, but at the same time, it was the same struggle. Mm-hmm. Even with me coming out, a lot of people don't realize when your pops are your mom and they make it already big, that's actually worse for the kid. Because
those are the kids you always hear about getting addicted to drugs and losing it. And,
you lose it because you got to realize you get this life without putting in the work, really.
Mm.
So that doesn't mean you're going to just be successful because your parents is. And that's the thing what I learned from my pops. I always had a good balance, though, because when we made it, people don't realize that my pops start making money and start becoming successful, but we still from the streets.
Mm.
My cousins don't change just because we making 50 right. million, 100 million, 200 million. It's like my family's still from the streets.
You're more at risk.
Exactly. So it's like I was still with my fam. My favorite cousin, you know, Carlos Daniels, locked up right now, been locked up for over 10 years, 1 year younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was my right-hand man. But that's who grew up with me. You know, my cousin's Tank, you know. D. Hogan, everybody from where we from. Like, I grew up with dudes that was from the street, but I think I just had that balance to where I always appreciated it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made me work harder, because when I saw my cousin Lance die in a car crash when I was 8 years old, then my cousin Fred Connor, he got beat up for his jewelry by like 10 plus dudes, you know, at the age of 13. That make you appreciate life.
Really?
So like when I was little Romeo, that's why I was like, Pops, I need to be successful now. I want to go out and do this, because like I always thought, what if I was next?
Uh-huh.
You know?
Do you think that entrepreneurial spirit is kind of genetic in a way? Do you feel that he just has that as part of his personality the same way? I think you were born with it, right?
Yeah,
to a certain extent.
I think I was born with it. I think he have it. But it's also, if you look at other relatives, we got other relatives that choose to do something else, choose to go outside the family, choose their friends over their family. And you wonder why they're in the situations they're in. Because everybody is born with something, but you gotta change your mindset and go out and get it. So I'm just proud that him and Symphonique really just say, you know what, I want to be something with my life.
Right.
And I'm not worried about who other people are, what, or even like some people get jealous of other people's success.
Right.
And I'm thankful that my family, you know, that we understand who God is, and we don't live like that. We don't live for money.
All right. I gotta say is my dad is super humble, because I feel like he really is the GOAT. He's the GOAT because he keeps working hard even after he did sell 75 million records. And like you said, I mean, people get left out of songs all the time, but he still included his brothers, still cared about his family. So that's why I'm just proud to be here, genuinely, not even just because we're related. But even if I didn't know him, I think, you know, just that respect is definitely earned.
This is your defense squad right here, man. They love your house.
You know, but that's
okay.
The way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be honest with you. I mean, that's what I work for. That's what I sacrificed. That's what I changed my life. Like, a lot of people are dead or in prison because they couldn't change. They didn't love their family enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I love my family so much that I needed to change. I had to make some changes. I grew up in the worst projects in New Orleans, and I knew for me to be here at this moment right now that I had to change my life.
Right.
And I'm okay with it. You know, I have nothing to prove to nobody. It's just about me getting better.
Right.
As a person, as a father, I'm not perfect. You know, we're not a perfect family, but we definitely work in progress, and we definitely.
Yeah, knowing what Neek said, the most impressive thing with my pops, the Lil Wayne line. Lil Wayne said, real G's roll in silence like lasagna.
Yep.
A G is silent in lasagna. And that's what I feel my pops. My pops one of those people where you don't want to come across him, but he don't have to be the biggest, the meanest. He don't have to show you that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you stay in your lane, he gonna stay in his lane. And I think that's why so many people, even the streets, respect him so much, because they know real. You know, they know real from fake.
Right.
And that's the thing that I learned from just growing up, you know, in the same household with this man.
Right.
So
back in 1998, you had a New York Times article, which was, you probably were the first Southern rapper that they acknowledged in that way at that time. And there's one quote from Tony Draper that I feel like kind of directly like ties in with the Intelligent Hoodlum album name, where he said, "You're looking at a young, successful black CEO who had the intelligence to take the rap business to the next level," which is pretty much like coming from a guy like him, that's pretty incredible. Yeah. And it's definitely, that's the most concise way of summing up like what you brought to the game and the influence that you've had over so many people.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tony Draper and James Prince at the time, they was as the biggest you could get at that time.
Before
they,
you, that was that was it. Yeah.
And these guys were my friends, so I looked up to those guys. I looked up to what they done. And by them being from Texas and me being from Louisiana, I had to realize that that was a good thing about those times back then.
Mm-hmm.
We wasn't jealous of each other.
Right.
You know, we was friends, even though we all, Lil J had Rap A Lot. He had, Tony had Suave House. I had No Limit. We was cool. We could pick up the phone and say, "Look, man, what's happening? What's going on?" And we rooted for each other. This generation now, everybody jealous of each other. Everybody want to take each other down. I mean, we was like a real mob family. Like, we all was there for each other. No matter, you pick up the phone, okay, what's happening? What's going on over there? And it's like, I got so much respect for them. And I think the thing was different for me was how I was able to even surpass what people thought Southern hip-hop was. I went out of my boundaries by me going to California and living in Richmond, California. I was able to experience a different hustle, an independent hustle of music, and see other parts of the world.
Right.
And I think that's what made me into a national artist, to where Southern hip hop, I was able to go to New York, go to all these places, to where my music just surpassed every Southern hip hop artist. And I think by Draper and Lil J not being artists, I think that was my strength. Because, you know, artists will leave you and they'll get in their feelings. So, but they was just the boss of the company. By me being a boss of the company and one of the biggest artists on the label, you know, I had no time to be negative. I was everywhere I needed to go at. Nobody had to tell me what to do because this was my company.
Right.
And I wanted to be there. And so that independence drove me to being able to come from the projects and make Forbes and then get my mind, because it's a mindset change you have too.
Because
most people want to be the toughest guys in the world, like Rome said. My thing, I was on the streets, I survived the streets, and then I wanted to get better. So I wanted to be a better person. I didn't want to. So like on this Intelligent Hoodlum album, I got a song called "I Ain't Going Back." I love my hood. I represent it. I'm going back to give to the kids. I'm going back to do my part. But I'm not going back to live. You see most athletes that make it, when things ain't going right no more, they end up back in the same neighborhoods where they grew up in. Because that's all they know.
Right.
So I want kids to think outside of that box. You know, this project, we just went in. We want to be able to motivate the next generation. So we had to think big back. And I had to think about what I named myself. I named myself Master P because I wanted to master this game.
That was your line of thinking even at the time?
At the time.
Okay.
At the time, I'm the first hip-hop artist to turn down $1 million.
Y'all don't know. They had an angel that came, talked to this man, and told him his future. That's why he named himself Master P.
You really
he named
it?
His label
Is this
No
real?
Limit. That's all.
Or is that a metaphor?
I don't know how you name yourself Master, then you name your label No Limit.
Well, there's a lot of broke-ass dudes in the hood named Master, probably, that we don't know about.
Now, but you know what? People don't realize you are what you speak. So imagine if I'd have named myself Gangsta P or Dope Boy P or whatever. Like, I mean, come on. Like, for me, I don't need to be the toughest guy in the world. I just need to stand up when I need to stand up. That's what real people are. It's like, because I don't disrespect people. So to get respect, you have to respect other people. And I think that, you know, my grandfather taught me that as a young kid. He said, if you want respect, you have to give it.
Right.
And so me growing up, and I understand what poverty really is, and not having something. I mean, I never had a bed till I was 18. I lived in a 3-bedroom project, not apartment, with my grandparents, and they had 12 kids, and me and my brother made 14.
Wow.
So I slept on the floor most of my life till I
so
was
that
18.
Gives you a completely different perspective.
But I wasn't
on what
mad about it though. It made me better. It made me appreciate things. It made me say, you know what? I got to go out and get something now. I'm not gonna sit around. And when people see you know, this no limit arm and they see this, they see this, they understand what this is.
I need one of those. That thing is crazy.
You know what I'm
saying?
You
can stop traffic with that thing, man.
They know what it is, man. This is no limit arm. And we've been through so much, you know, to get here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of changes you have to make if you want to make it in corporate America, too.
Right.
So some people just want to be the toughest guy on the streets. It's not, life is not about that.
But you seem like you kind of, because I'm sure there was, or even right now, but I'm sure you could definitely take care of yourself. You've got the people around you, could take care of everything. But you've seemed like for a long time, you've sort of not wanted to make it cool to be that guy who's walking around looking for problems.
Nah, that never was me.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a hustler. I never stole from nobody or took from anybody. I always worked for what I wanted. I mean, I was an entrepreneur as a little kid. I was drawing newspapers. I was carrying groceries. So I had that in me. And
the newspaper thing, that was my first job, too.
Yeah.
It teaches you a lot of character, getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
You know what? You got to get up and do what you got to do.
The hour and a half with a big strap on your shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
That was brutal. Hey, can I show you something that one of the people at the party asked me to show you?
Yeah. Come on, man.
Does this bring back any memories?
Man.
1998?
Yeah. You know what?
Classic right there.
We was the first hip-hop.
Let me see that.
That's merchandising right there. And it also matches your hats, though.
Yeah, we was the first hip-hop artist to have his own dog. So I got that. I watched Barbie and Ken, and I'm like, man, we got to have a dog for the ghetto. And I came up with the Make 'em Say Un dog. I mean, I think we sold about 400,000 to 500,000 of those dogs.
Oh my God! So that's a serious check off that thing right there.
I played with that dog.
Did you really?
Did
you grow up listening to a lot of No Limit as a kid?
Yeah.
You did. From can you just point the mic? Sorry.
Oh, I didn't even know it was on.
Oh no, you're good. Yeah, but so that was around. Like, was there ever a time in your life where you remember when you like realized your dad's impact or realized how big this thing he had built was?
The crazy thing is, he didn't like take me on red carpets or anything when I was little. So he didn't. It wasn't really about like the glamorous part. It was more like I just seen the respect that everybody had for him. I was like, dang, does everybody know my dad? Like, when I was a kid, that's more what it was like. But I was like, whatever he's doing, they all are like, oh, yes, like, we appreciate you. But the biggest thing I always seen was he was always giving back. Like, that's something I want to pass down to my family one day. Like, he would just always take us to these free basketball camps where he would talk to all the kids. You know, give them free stuff. Just reach out. I mean, even not just in New Orleans, but Memphis, Kentucky, wherever. So that's just what I seen was that, you know, he was constantly giving back.
It must have been when you saw how people act towards other people's dads that you realized, like, oh, like, there's something special about how mine's regarded. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to tell y'all, like, the most important thing that I try to teach people is that we can't take money with us.
Mm-hmm.
So our whole thing is what I teach my kids and my family and people around me. You love people and use money. Most people, when they're successful, you know, they use people and love money.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, because we come from New Orleans, we come from the hurricane town. The hurricane might come and wash it away. You got to start over tomorrow. So we're not afraid to start over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what life is about, not being afraid to start over.
Has there been a lot of times in your career where you've never been broke, but where you felt like you were starting over in the sense that you had to sort of rebuild your career?
Man, I done did backflips a couple of times.
I know, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that's what successful business people do. It's nothing. It's like, you know what? I'm like instant grist. Just add water. We're going to get some money some kind of way. So you could take it, whatever. We're going to come back. We don't matter. Plus, your heart got to be pure.
Mm-hmm.
When you believe in that man up above, they say he would never leave you or forsake you. And when you're doing right, it's going to come back to you. And that's what I look at. I'm a giver.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you my last. But the thing about it is, if you righteous, I mean, it's going to come back.
It's going to come back 20 different ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? That's why I got all these stars right here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I ain't really got to work. I can let these stars just go shine. But I mean, this is something I love. I love the music. And I felt like for No Limit, that we needed to put out a project like this, Intelligent Hoodlum. We needed something like this. I want to motivate that next generation and say, if I could do it, you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kids in here. There's kids that's in this store that's dreaming big. They dreaming of making it. I'm a living example that it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was once sitting on that poach in a project with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was that kid that everybody was telling me, you ain't going to be nothing. You ain't going to be this. There was one old lady told me, you say, Bright Eyes, you're going to be a star. And that's what I want to motivate that next generation. Say, look at all these stars out
that
here.
One line stuck with you?
That one line stuck with me. Even when people saying, you ain't going to be shit. You ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? It stuck with me.
Because when you're young, it could be hard to find somebody who really believes in you. And a lot of times it's that first person.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, so my movie, King of the South, mm-hmm. that's what it's about. Is about being king of the kindergarten class and then taking it over the world to the South,
mm-hmm.
coming back home and being able to do something and do something for the South.
This movie this a passion project for me, just me being the oldest and just seeing.
You're heavily involved in the production?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So this is something where it's like, I know everything this man been through, you know, and it wasn't easy. And then even coming from the Calio Projects, that's basically telling any kid in the world, mm-hmm. because if he could do it, you could do it. He came from the worst of the worst. So even if you're a kid right now, you coming from the worst situation, this man is a living witness that anything is possible.
Right.
And he didn't just make it. He didn't just succeed. But he surpassed what everybody thought.
Right.
Even like you say, like being from the South. Like, okay, we had the West and the East Coast, but nobody was looking at South rappers like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then being the first one to really make money in this business.
Mm-hmm.
Being your own boss. And that's why this movie, King of the South, is so important to me.
Oh, yeah. King of the South should have came out earlier, man. Just, like, the story is bananas. Like, to come from the murder capital of the world and then, you know, be one of the first people to have an 80-20 deal and to even play in the NBA. Sometimes I'm like, he really did all that?
That's like, what everybody says. That, like, wasn't he in the NBA for a while? I'm like, there's a complex article that sums up the whole thing. It's required reading if you want to talk about Master P and his NBA career.
Yeah, you know what, too, people don't realize is what you really want and you make out of the environments or the cards that you was dealt. Like, how many people, they just get down, oh, I'm going to get high, I want to do this because my life ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not going to make it like that. It's, you know, you might get knocked down, just like you said. It's how many times you get up. That one time you get up and you win is going to take away all that pain.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and that's the important theme with this movie.
It's a rags to riches story.
Yeah, but it's about choices, too.
Yeah.
Because this man could have made a million wrong choices and been in a whole different situation. Like you said, they probably got a lot of masters out there. Master Cutthroat, Master C, Master T. But we know Master P because of the choices he mm-hmm. made. And that's why, you know, I can't wait to get this No Limit movie out there. Because you've seen N.W.A., we got the Tupac one coming. But Hens is a whole different beast when it comes to just mastering your own craft in your life.
That's what I thought. When I first saw the N.W.A. movie, I thought, like, they need this for No Limit, Cash Money. They need to, like, document those stories as well.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What do you think of the Straight Outta Compton movie?
I think it was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, it was an incredible movie. And so when you talk about the culture and talk about the blessing for me to be here, to be able to make this movie and we still alive
mm-hmm.
to produce this. That's
right.
That's the thing. With everything that we've been through, most rappers don't get opportunity to do that or even see this. This is definitely history.
How conscious of N.W.A. were you, like, in the beginning of No Limit and everything? Because you were a guy who was always never scared to throw political content in with the tales about the street. And, like, when you think about political hip-hop, a lot of times they're one of the first ones people think of. But
oh, no, you think of them and you also think of Luke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Luke Skywalker, for me, being from the South, he went up against a lot of that stuff, too. And I think the difference with my story, why I'm the king of the South, because a lot of other great guys came before me, but I'm the first hip-hop artist to get an 80-20 distribution deal.
Mm.
And that's when people start looking at us different, because I did cribs, I showed them the gold ceilings, I did all those things, because people thought Southern artists, we was riding on cows and horses and stuff. But no, for real, back then, that's what people thought.
Right.
And
it's hard for people to remember, like, before everybody, nobody knew what to think of themselves.
Nah, because think about it. I mean, the Ghetto Boys was as great as you could get in the South. So I looked up to them. But at the same time, I was the first one to own my own company and actually do this.
Right.
And I thank those guys. Mm-hmm. I take my hat off to them. I praise them. Without Luke Skywalker, Lil J and Rap-A-Lot, the Tony Drapers, the Scarfaces, it wouldn't be no me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the difference with me. I'm thankful for those guys. But I think that they opened that door up for me, and I was able to kick the windows in, mm-hmm. you know, knock the house down, you know, but I couldn't have did it without those guys. So you're going to see that in the movie, you know, how those guys made me better. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes
that's why it's amazing for this man to just be heard and be put on that level. It's like this generation, you interview them, they don't give props to nobody. Mm-hmm. This man,
they don't even want to acknowledge that there are other rappers. Yeah,
and that's one thing I noticed growing up with him. Like, this man give props where props is due. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing I don't appreciate about this generation, where everybody want to be the greatest, mm-hmm. but you don't realize, how did you become the greatest? Because you was looking up to whoever you thought was the greatest.
To be honest with you, I've never been afraid to say that, you know, what Luke done in Miami, what Lil J done in Texas with Rap-A-Lot, is like, those guys was the blueprint for me. Mm-hmm. And you know, because everybody could go to a certain level, I was able to push it further because I had more artists, I put out more music, I put out more records. You know, at one time I had 14 records on the top 200 Billboard charts. Mm-hmm. And it, when people say that, you can't do that.
Right.
And I say, why? Because I own a company. You know, I can do whatever I want to do. You know, I mean, I was able to put a doll out when nobody said it won't work. I was the first hip-hop artist to put out an independent film with a soundtrack. Yeah. And I own it 100%, which was I'm About It.
Yeah, which was unheard of at the time.
Yeah, I mean, that ended up selling 1 million and some units.
And you were only really able to do that because you were so authentically, I think this was in that New York Times article, you were so authentically that person, you were so your own fan base, that it didn't feel like there was any risk. You knew that this was something people wanted because you were, in a lot of ways, the customer.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it already. Mm. So, retail, owning a retail store, it let me know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I was able to create that and make it happen. So I'm just thankful, man. I'm thankful. I'm blessed. And you know, we're not done yet. We get better with time, man. We're still going.
Can I just hit you with one memory that stands out to me? Like, when I first became conscious of No Limit?
Yeah.
I'm 13 in my mom's living room, and the Make 'Em Say On video comes on. Yeah. And I've never seen anything that bright and shiny.
Yeah.
I've never seen a tank on a basketball court.
Yeah.
How conscious were you of how revolutionary that video was visually? And that was a huge step up from any video you'd done before, I assume?
Yeah, so my whole thing was with that was, so I had created the No Limit logo, and it was the bling, and I had the Rolex watch back then, and I asked the guys at Pinning Pixel to I wanted to make my logo, and I wanted to put some ice on it. So when I did that, and that bling was there, I had it on the back of every CD cover. Then I said, you know what? I'm about to bling out my video.
Mm.
I want to put a gold-plated tank in the video.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, how are we going to do that? Say, we're going to buy a tank. We're going to gold-plate it.
It was real gold.
Yeah, we gold-plated it.
Where is that now?
Man, it's
melted down.
Yeah, it's melted down.
They're using it in Iraq.
It might be over there in Iraq right now, man.
Fucking Trump.
The gold gone.
Trump's got a hold of it.
So, nah, man. But you know what? That's how life goes. It's like, after a while, you know, what do you do with a tank after the video? Mm. You're like, okay, yeah, that was cool.
I should be in the Smithsonian or something.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know, that's pretty unbelievable about you and No Limit, is that never before has somebody's graphic designers become famous. Like, everybody knows about Pen & Pixel. Yeah. You're one of the only people that's been able to make their graphic designers famous.
Yeah.
What was that relationship? Like, were you just tossing your ideas at them?
I just met them. I met them over the phone.
Uh-huh.
And so they was like, I could do anything. I said, yeah, you could do anything. Can you make my logo diamond and mm-hmm. gold? It was like, diamond and gold? How do we do that? I said, I'm going to send you a picture. So I showed them a picture of my watch, and I was like, make my logo look like this.
Uh-huh.
They got in over their head, though. They was like, they couldn't figure it out. Because see, back then, you ain't had all this stuff where you could just, you know, you could scan something mm-hmm. and do, you know. It wasn't that time. I had to actually go there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because they did some stuff, but it wasn't right. So,
but then over time, it just sort of like transformed into like, okay, you have one album cover, and then by the end of it, you had gone so far off the deep end in terms of just the craziest visuals ever. That's still like, I'm not even sure how aware you are of the fact that so many rappers in the underground and everything still rip off that aesthetic constantly. It's still so in fashion.
Nah, I mean, to be honest with you, it's just amazing. It's just a blessing. I give it all to the man up above. Without him, you know, I mean, the plan just was there. Mm-hmm. And I was willing and accepting to play my role. So there's a lot of smart people out here. You know, I went to college. That don't mean nothing. Mm-hmm. But just being blessed. I feel like being blessed and doing the right thing. And he opened up other doors when I started changing my life and doing the right thing and started tithing and giving money back. And my life started getting on the right track. And, you know, even when it come down to family members that don't want to do right or jealous or angry or bitter, you know, you just got to keep on moving forward. And I think that's basically what my life is about. It's like, you know what? Don't dwell on the past. Mm-hmm. Just keep moving forward. Keep getting better.
Yeah.
Keep getting better.
And even now, like something like you with the body transformation challenge on Instagram, it's like, it's so cool. Like, to still be at that point where you still want to be improving yourself. I mean, it's not like you have anything to prove. You were in the friggin' NBA.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have anything to prove, but you still want to just be a better person, right?
Yeah, well, you know, to be honest with you, people don't realize health is wealth. Mm-hmm. When I start realizing that, I'm start thinking, like, what's the use of having money and you don't have health? Mm-hmm. You know, the guy who owned Worldstar, he was 375 pounds.
Yeah.
You know,
rest Q,
and Q was a good dude. Mm. But his health had got so big to where it was like, it was scary because, you know, I'm on the phone talking to this guy. Matter of fact, I had just talked to him the day before.
Really?
And talking about putting my project, doing all this stuff. And it's like, then you call back. It's like, you don't get no answer. You know, you don't know. This man is not here.
So sad.
And it's like, but imagine, you know, you getting in the gym and just working for 30 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I got to at least do that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I want to be around, I want to be here for my family and my kids. And, you know, I got to take care of myself.
Do you go through periods where you just start eating like shit, though? Eating ice cream?
No, and you know what?
AP, telling the truth. You looked at me, AP. You looked at me, P, and you said, damn, I need to look back there, like this doll, P.
That's a pretty good looking guy right there.
I know, P, look at me, P. Tell him the truth.
Yeah,
tell him why he did that challenge.
That's what I did. Right there for that dog right there.
You
I said,
bring
man,
that
I
back.
Used to, yeah. I had to get back in there, man. But no, I had got so big, people don't realize I was wearing a 4X shirt. Mm. Now I'm down to extra large. I was wearing
Hold on, extra large.
Yeah.
You had the XL?
Yeah.
You guys are swapping clothes, huh?
Yeah. Look in the back of that.
Hold on, let me
look
check.
In the back
I
of
it's
that.
A 90 day.
Look in the back of that.
Hell, this man. Wait, this is a.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I'm done.
Uh oh.
6'4 with an XL.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man,
I gotta hide my clothes now, sis.
I was so
Slim
big,
Jim.
And then my pants, I was wearing a 44 inch waist pants. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Because I come from the NBA, I was skinny the whole my whole time. So got down to 38. I feel good. I got, you know, little stuff working on, but I feel good now because once you start, people don't realize the hardest thing is just get make that. From when I first started that first week, I was like, man, I'm about to quit. This 90 days ain't about to happen.
There's
I'm
not a done. Lot of fat old guys.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, like you losing 30, 40 pounds is like you could be tacking 5-10 years onto your life realistically, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important, man. It's like take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not by, you know, even though people laugh, made jokes, that's cool. I get all that. But still, you could be like, I got money. I ain't tripping.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, nah, I need to get myself together.
I think that's cool. It brings people in. It shows them what you really got going on in your life, you know? People want that authenticity.
Yeah, but think about it. If I was doing something negative, it would have been the biggest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to see somebody doing something positive, trying to get themselves together, it's sad that our people just don't get it. They're going to come up with something. But why are you doing this? What do you mean why I'm doing it?
Yeah.
I want to better myself. Something wrong with that? That's crazy.
You know, I'm from the East Coast, and like I can't even put into words how iconic the moment was when you teamed up with the Diplomats for the Make 'em Say video out there. Do you have any recollection of how that went down?
Well, you know, Cam and Jim Jones, and you know, they hit me up for the Body Part 2 video, and I mean, we just showed up. We came in their hood. We came out there and was like, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was love. And that, I mean, I think that's what it's about. you know, mixing this stuff up. We never been in the gangs. I never been a blood or crip. None. So I've always just been about my money.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. I've been able to go wherever I wanted to go at.
Mm-hmm.
So just going into any hood. I mean, I love my people. Going in there and doing songs and doing videos in the heart of New York. I mean, you got to be about your business. You got to be real. You gotta love your people.
It just made so much sense too, because I think Cam and Jim are so obviously like influenced by you and what you had done. Because when you look at what they were doing in New York, it's really like they kind of took your blueprint and applied that to New York.
Well, I think that's the whole music game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
like, that's what this generation don't know. You know, it's like, and that's why this movie is so important to me, because the whole music game took something from my pops.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you look from anybody.
Well, the top stuff right now is like.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, I'm gonna tell y'all. The greatest thing was that there's so many talented people in the music business. So people say when you get in a business, find a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I watched from KRS-One to LL Cool J to all those guys, to Eric B and Rakim. I mean, you had a lot of talent at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I noticed was nobody was making no real money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I got in. I said, I got to be independent. I can't sell my soul, because they got way more talented guys than me.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be able to make money from this multi-billion-dollar business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what influenced me to go hard, to say, you know what, I'm not going to sell my soul, not for no check. I'm going to make my own check.
And what you did, like, really, like, from the early days of rap, people could have been doing that. They just didn't see the vision. They thought they needed labels.
Yeah, everybody thought they needed a label. I mean,
they could have gone press some tapes themselves, you know?
Man, let me tell you something. I spent $25,000 back then in the 90s. With Michael Jackson attorney, to give me the game. He was like, "It's gonna cost you $25,000." So I'm like, "25? I live in the project, man. $25,000." So he was like, I sit down with him, and he told me. He said, "The only deal you could get besides an artist deal is a distribution deal, where you get 80% and the record company get 20%. But you're gonna need $200,000 in marketing promotion money." And I said, I gave you $25,000 to tell me that. You know, but that was the best $25,000 I ever spent.
Right.
Because I didn't know. After that, I just wanted nothing but a distribution deal.
Right.
Companies to come at me, we're going to give you a deal. We got $1 million. I said, nah, I want a distribution deal.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you got to spend to get what you want. A lot of people are not willing to invest in this. They say, because I tell you all the time, they want me to invest in their business. But I'm like, you're not even willing to invest in yourself.
Right.
You don't believe in. You're not going to put no money into this, but you want me to help you.
I mean, you had money to start with. I think that's a big thing with a lot of the artists early on, is they had no capital to work with. So they felt like they had to go to the labels.
Well, but think about it. A lot of these guys then, they ain't really from the streets. Because they say they're from the streets, but do you own your company? Do you have any money? If you was doing all this stuff out on the streets, you should have some kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I don't really have the question. It's like the proof is in the pudding. It's like I could tell where you really from or what you really was doing, because if you don't have no bread, then really you wasn't the boss wherever you from.
Yeah.
You know, it don't make no sense. You could tell all the stories.
Fake it till you make it.
You could say all that, but something ain't right.
Yeah.
You know, if you doing all this and you got all this work out there, what you need me for?
Mm-hmm. Hey, as long as I got you guys together, I think I probably got the best question that anybody's ever going to ask you guys. Did Michael Jordan really flex on you about wearing your dad's shoes? We got to hear your version of it. Because there's people online trying
this
to question
man
the
and
account.
Michael Jordan. Look, this is the thing with Pops. Pops don't care who you is. But it was always love. But, you know, we had the P. Miller shoes, the P. Miller headbands, P. Miller do-rags. Whatever you could wear on your body, we had P. Miller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike, one of those people, he's just like my dad, where he's like, Rome, I know you don't got your pop shoes on at my camp, huh?
How old were you, 8?
I was probably 8, and I got every award. So I'm just saying, I was balling, too. So
Mike, he was pissed. You're trying to take over the camp.
I was like a little star, little basketball player at his camp, and I was wearing P. Miller's.
Uh-huh.
And then I literally just called my dad. I was like, Pops, Mike said I need to put on them MJs, you feel me?
So you flew out?
Man.
So it is real. It's a real story. But Mike always been a good family friend. And him and Pops, they'll play like 5-on-5. You know, Pops, he picked an amazing team. Let me tell you. Pops' team was, what's that movie with Will Smith he did? That Will Smith
Suicide
movie.
Squad.
Suicide Squad. That's what Pops, Pops pick all the crazy dudes.
Uh-huh.
So Pops like, look, Ron Artez, I need you. Whoever crazy, oh that's who Pops. And they'll play Michael Jordan 5-on-5, Michael, LeBron, everybody.
Right.
And guess who will win?
Yeah.
This dude gets some dubs. I didn't see too many people get W's over there.
You know what? To be honest with you, Mike has always been a friend of ours. We joke and laugh, but he's competitive, just like us. But you know me, I'm from the project, so I'm not going to be like, oh, I know you, Michael Jordan. Like, you the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But still not get on the court. I got to play. You just a number. And then especially after you told my son, like, oh, he
look,
can't
wear
the
still
shoes.
To this day, I don't know if it was sarcasm or not, though. You know, I'm just saying, because, you know, Mike got that little, you know.
I bet he just wanted to test the waters.
Yeah, it may have been sarcasm.
Man,
but I was a little kid.
And every basketball player wants to be a rapper, no matter how big they are. They still want to have that. Like, he still wanted your image in a way, I bet.
He might have, but it was like, I have so much respect for him, but I'm like, he took it so serious. Like, I'm like, dude, it's just one pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's the shoes he liked, let him wear it.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up there, you know.
But Mike was being sarcastic, Pops.
Yeah, he was.
What was the energy when you came up there? And how many guys you come up there with?
One.
Just you? Okay.
Me and one little guy, my cousin. His name Hot Boy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's serious.
Yeah. See, with a name like Hot Boy, he better be.
So Mike had about 25 guys out there with him, watching him. And so it was like, man, were we going to play? And Rome was little, but it was a battle. Because then, you know how you talk to each other on the floor. So now I'm playing with the Raptors. I'm at that time. That's at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So he telling me, oh, you ain't made the team yet. You just a rapper. I say, all right, well, really, let's go then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So my competitive came out too. So, but we end up winning. So, you know, then I talk noise.
How did he even take that when you guys won, though?
She had to take it.
But how, like,
you
I can't
know
even.
Me, he was sitting on the sideline, and I'm just like.
I think Pop still had his gold teeth, so
Ooh.
The gold teeth days, you know.
Nice.
That's a whole nother story.
Yeah, I changed my life.
Getting rid of the gold? I mean, you still got a bunch of gold teeth.
Yeah, but I had all gold.
Yeah.
And I was a different person.
Was that part of you, like, changing your life? Was, like, getting rid of the gold teeth? Were they symbolic of?
No, I took the tops out because of him. Like, they wanted me to play the dad. On the Romeo show, and I'm like, man, you sure you want me to play? You know, I got gold.
They came to me. They's like, look, you think you can convince your pops to take out his gold
teeth? And I'm like, man. But when they told me how much, I was like, okay, take them things out.
I got the dentist with them.
How are you going to ask Master P to take his gold teeth out for a TV show? It's like asking Superman to take his freaking cape off. That's part of the brand.
It was worth the Emmys and everything.
Yeah. Hey, so you driving around, what are you listening to these days?
I'm just listening to the Intelligent Hoodlum right now.
Okay.
You know.
You can't. Nobody else that you happen to.
You know what? I was listening to other people, but now I'm just like, you know what? I got to get back on this.
Mm-hmm.
Building. You know, if we believe in this, this all we got to eat, sleep, and drink right now.
Right.
That's it. I ain't got time for nothing else because it's going to throw me off of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what I've been mostly focused on is Intelligent. And Symphonique.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to her new project, No Days All.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I'm so thankful that you were down to come in here and do this interview and to do this event. Shout out to WCSP for doing it with us and everything. And
y'all get out there and get them t-shirts because
we got
some of the hottest t-shirts.
NoJumper.com, we got them too.
Yeah
go to RomeEverything.com too. I'm slinging tees on there as well.
You down to come back sometime? Really spit some games? Say stuff you can't say in front of your dad?
Of course.
All right. Well,
all love.
And this was a huge surprise. I had no idea that it was going to be that the kids were going to come. It's insane. Yeah. I'm happy as hell. It was great.
Hold on, man. I came too, man. Hold on, bro. Hold on.
That's the old one. That's the one with the gold teeth, the full gold teeth.
I'm just saying, man.
We had those all over our house.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's good. Hey,
show them.
Nothing wrong with shameless self-promotion, let me tell you. That's gotten me a long ways, too. P, thank you so much. Everybody, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, No Limit Forever. Thank you. Appreciate it, man.